Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 9:53 British Summer Time, well, Greenwich Mean Time, excuse me, and today is November 14th. Well, following Janet Yellen's really very dovish comments yesterday, the stock markets were in pretty optimistic form today. And that started off in Japan with the coincident weakness of the yen, and the yen earlier on was flirting with 100 yen to the dollar, and it is back to that level at present. And the Nikkei was stronger by 2.12%. The Hang Seng was up a bit too, about 0.8%, and the A-share market in China was also a bit steadier, and the ASX in Australia up about 0.2%. We've also seen that there's been some steadying in some of the ASEAN markets, and the Indian market, which had pulled back so sharply over the last week with some weakening of the rupee, was also a bit steadier in here today. In Europe today, the majority of markets were in positive territory, and the Eurostoxx 50, the CAC, the DAX, and the OMX in Sweden were all up in excess of 1%. What we're seeing here as well in Latin America is that a number of markets which had either deteriorated really quite sharply, Colombia falls into that category, have firmed here, and Mexico, which had come back to the lower side of its range, was up by 1.36% in here today, and the Brazilian market, which has also been pulling back over the last couple of weeks, was up today by 2.34%. And the S&P 500, having broken out of this 2.5 week range last night, was stronger in here again today by just less than 0.5%. So what we are seeing here is that there is a considerable correlation between the size of the Fed's balance sheet and the return in stock markets. And that correlation, running a 12-month correlation metric on Bloomberg, you can see that it is virtually a perfect correlation. And that would suggest that the correlation, if you look at the overlay, has actually tightened in over the last 12 months. And that would suggest that investors are getting the message that the Fed is willing to step behind markets and support them, and that provided you have this sea of liquidity continuing to expand, that that's going to have an inflationary effect on asset prices, if probably nowhere else. Where we are seeing some pressure, though, is in the government bond markets. And the US Treasuries today were a bit firmer, up less than 1 point. But probably the most important fact is that with the yields having surged higher earlier this year, they've held on to the majority of their gains, and the yield encountered or found support earlier this week in rather dynamic fashion. And a sustained move below the 200-day moving average would really be required to question supply dominance. So while the Fed is out there and increasing the amount of money that's available, and they probably feel justified in doing that when you see that the velocity of money has been deteriorating and continues to deteriorate and is at 50-year lows, and the most recent data point, which was the September 30th point, was at a new 50-year low as well. So with velocity of money continuing to deteriorate, the automatic response from central banks is to increase the supply of money, and they won't stop doing that until they start to see some form of sustainable growth hitting the economy and sustainable strength. But and that really is exactly what Janet Yellen was saying. So that then raises the question as to the timetable for Fed tapering, and it pushes it out perhaps even further than the first quarter of next year. So stock markets are pricing that eventuality in. It is worth considering, however, that we've been advancing now for 4 years, and the trend has become progressively more consistent, and some of the leading shares have developed really quite large overextensions relative to their 200-day moving averages. I clicked through the autonomies in the webinar that I recorded with the Money Show today, and while I didn't get all the way to the end, what was increasingly obvious is that some of the shares that have done particularly well, and two that come to mind are Nike and Starbucks, and they're now accelerating higher. And one of the main lessons from the chart seminar is that acceleration is an ending, and it's an ending of undetermined duration. So we don't know exactly how long this acceleration is likely to last, but the longer it persists for, the greater the likelihood of a reversion towards the mean, and of course the further away from the mean that it gets, the greater the possibility that the reaction will eventually be rather violent. That would suggest that a trailing stop is becoming increasingly appropriate for at least part of a position in something that is accelerating higher. Now, of course, the other side, the other thing that's quite obvious is that this time last year, and really from the summer of last year, it was the consumer sector that was really quite overextended, and it was the industrial sector that was just breaking out. And you fast forward to now, and you see that companies like Boeing and a number of the big industrial shares have been among the best performers this year, and are also developing these large overextensions relative to the 200-day moving average. And it is the consumer shares, and for example, the brewers, or the big consumer shares, that are only now just breaking out of what have been 6 and 7 month ranges. And Kimberly-Clark is an example of that. So, and the other interesting one is in the technology sector, where you have companies like Oracle and Qualcomm, which have been largely range-bound for most of 2013 and are just now starting to demonstrate that there's a return to medium-term demand dominance, and the likelihood is that they'll be able to sustain breakouts. And on a risk-reward basis, chasing a market that's accelerating higher is a trading strategy. It's not an investment strategy. And buying something that has found support in the region of the moving average and is firming there, it, on a risk-reward basis and relative to where one might have to have a stop, then the risk of buying something that has had the reversion to the mean is really that much more attractive. And considering that a number of these types of companies, they're all very much leveraged to similar themes in that they benefit from not only that they have dominant positions in their respective sectors, but that they are specifically leveraged to the confluence of themes such as innovation and technology and the USA's advantage in energy costs and the rise of the global consumer. So they go by turns, and we are currently potentially at another one of these rotation type events. In the commodity markets in here today, the gold price was a bit firmer and platinum was up by about $15. We're seeing that a number of the industrial metals, which had pulled back really quite sharply, have at least steadied in here. And considering the fact that people are pricing in additional quantitative easing measures and extended period of them, then the possibility of commodity prices bouncing from here has increased. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I wish all the best to all of you.